Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi, I'm Teja Hacic-Vlahovic. I'm the author of Life of the Party, my debut novel. It's a coming-of-age story set in Milan in the 2010s. I'm also a columnist, a comedian, and a performer.
And now you have to say, and welcome to Sylvia and me.
Oh, and welcome to Sylvia and me.
Teja, thank you so much. What a delight. I am so happy that you were able to be here today with me. And when I say be here, you're in California, beautiful California, and I'm here in Connecticut. Actually, it's sunny, but it's a little chilly outside. So as you said, you're promoting your debut novel, Life of the Party, which just hearing you right now, you are the life of the party. And one of the things that I do want to talk about is what's going on today with not just social distancing, but staying at home and staying at home as much as possible. How does one, who, especially who's outgoing, what could you suggest that some people could do to get life, you know, not just not boring, but to get some fun in, be able to smile?
Okay, this is a very good question, and it's very important, not just for nightlife people. I mean, I am a party girl through and through. I've worked in nightlife. Most of my friends are either DJs, promoters, they own clubs, they run clubs, they dance in clubs, they fall asleep in clubs. It's our lifestyle. But even for people who don't live and breathe for parties, something is missing, whether it's just being noticed when you walk to the coffee shop wearing your favorite blouse. That is a little mini party. Every day is filled with a mini moments, mini party moments. Like waiting in line for your slice of pizza, there's a little bit of that, like waiting in line for the open bar. So we are all missing this aspect of life, this little excitement. So I think it's very important. I know that women already, we have to dress up too much, blah, blah, blah. But for me, it's been really important to keep up with the Kardashians, keep up with my sense of like how I need to look to feel like I'm the main character in my movie. You don't want to be casting the wrong actress in your own movie. So like my actress has to have bleached eyebrows and bleached hair. So I made my poor husband help me 2 weeks ago. We had to bleach my hair, bleach my eyebrows. It was almost a disaster, but we made it. So first tip, keep up a little bit of your appearance just so you don't feel like you're letting yourself go. It's not a matter of like gaining weight or like being ugly. Being ugly is cool in its own way. It's just keep up your own self so that when things are back to normal, you're not like totally unable to dress yourself.
Before we go to number two, one of the other things is in doing that, and I can't imagine you have to do it all the time. You get dressed to go to the kitchen, to the bathroom, but it's the self-esteem. It's keeping that up there, which I think is very important. So go on to number two.
Exactly. It's not vanity. It's self-esteem. Even my dog, she wants to feel like she looks nice. She licks herself all day. So number two is music and dancing and movement is very important. So, I mean, I personally have been hosting Instagram Live parties for my book launch party. It had to be an Instagram Live party at 10 a.m. because I had to be the right timing for my Italian followers. At 10 a.m., I dimmed the lights. I turned on my party lights. I had a disco ball. I had a dress on, fake eyelashes. I popped a bottle of champagne and I danced for 2 hours. That might be too much for the average person, but put some music on early in the morning and do a little dance. I try to dance a little bit while I walk my dog. Five construction workers just laughed at me this morning because they caught me dancing. But you know what? I brightened their day. So movement is the second
tip. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and the third thing is like, you know, I'm lucky because I'm not quarantined by myself. I think that's its own very difficult challenge. But so I talk to my husband and my dog, but again, I talk to them already in a way that I don't talk to other people. With them, I can just be making fart jokes and they won't judge me. it is important to maintain a bit of the chatter, gossip with your girls, spill the tea, just call up someone, even if it's just once a week, just to, again, get in the flow of, like, feeling like you're part of the tea party. So again, so when things are back to normal, you're not overwhelmed by it.
Well, part of the tea party. Mm-hmm. I love it. You talked to me a few minutes before we started, and you mentioned about young girls, inspiring young women. Can you expand a little bit more on that?
Yes. So I started my work as I know it as a blogger when I was 21. And since then, the point of any work I've done, whether it was a short film or a book or a comedy set, the point to everything I do is so that a young girl or queer person or gay boy can feel free to do whatever they want, but at the same time know what bad things might happen, and at the same time accept those things and not judge themselves for it. Because I was a very troubled teenager. I struggled with anorexia, body dysmorphia. My first relationship was an abusive one. And my 20s were also scattered with issues. So when I was younger, like in my 20s, I was writing through my own issues, and I just noticed by accident all these girls, like on Tumblr, were asking me for advice on relationships while I was going through terrible relationships. But I think that, you know, it's easier to give advice than to take it. So I just kind of fell into this way of coaching girls through what being a girl means, or a gay boy. And the daily struggles that we face, but doing it all with a laugh, never at least wanting to feel like a victim, never really focusing on the negative, more on, wow, you went through that. Like, congratulations, no. You know, what's next? So that's my main goal.
Okay. So you just spoke about your life. You had a number of struggles. Mm. How did you turn that around? How were you able to, I understand having, and it's not survived because you weren't a victim, having gone through that and now living a different chapter and you're on a new journey. How did you get through that in order to now be able to be so confident in what you're doing and want to express that and share that with other young people?
Well, it took years and years and years and years of faking it. Karl Lagerfeld is a very catastrophic personality. He says very bad things. But one thing he said that I liked, it was about weight loss, which again is stupid. But he said fashion is a great inspiration for weight loss, something like that. For me, it wasn't weight loss. It was glamour inspired me to survive. Like I always want, again, this sounds vain, but I think you'll understand that it's not. Since I was little, I wanted to be a protagonist. I wanted to be a main character. I wanted to be the rock star. For girls, you don't really get to be the rock star unless you're dating a rock star. You don't get to be the bad boy. You have to date a bad boy. And all of this kind of inferiority and what it means to be a girl, I ended up just inflicting a lot of pain on myself. And it took about 10 years to recover from all of that. But in the meantime, I don't think people even knew that I was struggling, because I was like, I'm going to pretend to be really confident. And okay, so there is something to be said about having really bad self-esteem in that it helps you have a lot of fun. Because like, I hated my body so much that I didn't care what happened to it. I sometimes joke that like pretty girls didn't have as much fun as me, or girls who loved themselves didn't have as much fun as me, because in not caring about what happened to me, I did everything. Things that now I wouldn't do, because now I have a husband I love, I have a dog I love, I have myself that I love. But being a girl who can just throw herself in the trash, on the way to the trash, you get a lot of stories. So I think that just the process of healing for me was very, it was a very radical, raw healing process that involved a lot of action. And I don't think most people have the luxury of healing that way. I got to be in Europe studying fashion and going to parties. Maybe another girl my age didn't get to have that experience, and so she had to heal in a more quiet way. But that's how it happened. It's just one day I woke up And the way I was faking being confident, it just suddenly turned into real confidence.
Okay. That's different. But I could know, and all the people I've talked to, usually self-esteem, a lack of self-esteem, it not only takes time, but usually people hide away. Yeah. And they're more introverted. And you were able to go through that. It sounds like you've got the personality where you were, again, it wasn't just that you didn't care what you did to your body, but you didn't care what anyone else around you was truly thinking.
Yeah. So go ahead.
So it took you 10 years to what was there one specific incident that got you that said that aha moment?
Honestly, it wasn't until, I mean, even like by the time I was 25 and I had both of my Wired column and my Vice column, and I had a TV show and I seemed very successful, and I had gotten past the latest abusive relationship. I wasn't using drugs anymore. Technically, that was like a good moment, but I still had never just been able to sit down at a restaurant and have a normal meal. Like I couldn't, if I didn't see a thigh gap in the mirror, it would ruin my whole day. So it really took meeting my husband. It wasn't because he told me I was beautiful, I felt beautiful. No, it's obviously not. But I had someone constantly watching me and my well-being, and which really annoyed me at first. I resented him for it. But he would say things like, I can tell that you want to skip lunch today and I'm not going to let you. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm not going to skip? I was thinking about it. I don't know how he saw that. So that isn't to say that you need someone taking care of you at all. My husband is the only person I ever let kind of take me to restaurants, make sure I was eating enough, make sure I was sleeping enough. Because in fact, I had a roommate, Maria, the character in Life of the Party. She's based on my real roommate at the time, who she was the only person in my life at the time that actually wanted me to take care of myself. But I resented her so much for it that I literally moved out. I moved away so that I could put myself in trouble without her judgment. So it took, I think, just having someone really care about my well-being, not for their sake, not so that I could keep partying or keep having sex with them or just look pretty next to them, for me to realize, like, it's not that bad, actually, to just be healthy. So I think the aha moment was just one day in New York, where for the third time that day, I had eaten out and I didn't feel bad about it all day. And I was just like, oh, I haven't, when you realize that you haven't thought about something all day. So that was it. But I was 28 and my anorexia started at 13. So it was a long time. Yeah,
yes, but you were able to do it. And a lot of these things take a lot of time and people suffer from it their whole lifetime.
Yeah.
But kudos to you to being able to talk about it.
So yeah, I think a lot more people struggle with it than we think. I think it's boys too. Yeah.
And in today's world with the social media, girls especially, and I'll just talk to girls, and with the social media and having to think they need to be perfect all the time and everything else that goes around, they are more susceptible than anyone else right now. And in this particular time when we are at home and they're not around their friends. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your goals? What are you looking to do?
Oh, I have so many. So right now, I'm already talking to two production companies in Italy about getting the rights to make a movie, which I think Life of the Party will make a gorgeous Italian film. It'll be called L'Anima della Festa. So that hopefully will happen. Meanwhile, I'm working on a second book already. It's about a teenager growing up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I just hope to write a lot of books, make some movies, and just keep, if I'm lucky enough to stay in touch with the youth as I grow older, I think that's a blessing. Because the fact that still, I mean, I'm 32 now, and like 16-year-old girls still write to me daily which again, like it's, I still feel like a teenager. And I hope that I don't just find myself out of touch one day with them, because they are the ones, they are different from how we were growing up. They're much smarter than I was. Girls today, yes, they struggle. I mean, social media is a disaster, but they're so much smarter than I was. And I feel like I can still learn so much from them. So my goal is to stay in touch with them as I continue to do my work.
So what are some of the things that you've learned from them?
I mean, they're just already, like, I've learned, like, people can really change the way they think so fast. Laws maybe don't change fast, and the way people actually behave in the real world might not change fast. But kids today, I mean, how easily they're able to already just be like, don't slut shame. I mean, growing up, like, if someone found out that I slept with a guy that wasn't my boyfriend, I just was a slut. There was nothing I could say about it. So you had to either embrace the term or fight with your friends. They don't ever, I mean, at least like the teenagers that I talk to, the smart ones, they don't ever call anyone a slut unless it's like ironic, unless it's a compliment. The way that they discuss gender and gender roles, they're so easily now accepting, like, oh yeah, what's your pronoun? And trans people, I know, again, of course, in practice, in real life, they're treated terribly day to day, but the acceptance, at least in an online community, I mean, it's something that I never saw growing up. Growing up, that guy's gay because he's, I don't know, like speaking in a nice voice or something. I just learned that things can change, and that's wonderful.
Well, that's great. I love your enthusiasm. I think it's absolutely, it's contagious. It really is. And so reaching out to teenagers, young adults, you're doing a service for them. You really are.
I hope so.
So I never asked, why is your book, did you live in Italy?
Yes, it's all of that basically happened. I just chose to write a novel for artistic purposes.
Okay.
But yeah, I lived in, so I grew up in North Carolina. I'm Croatian, but I grew up in North Carolina. And I first started studying fashion at Appalachian State University. You can imagine, I mean, they tried their best. God bless them. I love them. But the fashion school there, it's just one room with 10 girls wearing sweatpants. And we learned how to sew, like, quilts. So I did a study abroad program in Milan. I was only supposed to be there for 4 months and then come back to Appalachian State. But after 2 months there, I'll never forget this day. I sat at a gelateria. I remember exactly what I was wearing. And I called my mom and I said, Mom, I'm not coming back. I'm sorry. And she was like, yeah, I get it. You know, she's European. So she got, I was like, I'm not going back there. And I thought that all my credits could transfer. I'd already done 2 years of University of America. I had to go through all this. I had to go through a year of learning Italian, working, and getting into fashion school again from day one in Italian. So I had to redo all of fashion school, which is probably good. And then I stayed there for 5 years, met my husband. We lived in New York, and then we moved back to Milan for a few more years, and now I'm here in LA. So, but I feel like Milan is always going to pull me back in no matter what.
So you've had a very, very interesting life there, and a heck of a lot more to go. You're only 32 years old, yeah. But that's fantastic. And taking it and saying you're staying there, I understand the draw.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta, and women, we rarely listen to ourselves in these types of moments. I just finished reading this book, Good Morning, Destroyer of Men's Souls, and it's all about women, codependency, addiction, and just about how, like, women, we were taught to not trust our gut feelings. And I've been lucky enough to be I'm an impulsive person, but impulsivity only matters if you follow it through. Don't just be the person that makes little impulsive decisions all day, because then you're annoying. But I believe in impulsivity if you're able to follow it through, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I can't imagine if I'd gone back. But that's something I have to say about Americans. I mean, I'm lucky because I was an immigrant in America. I was an immigrant in Italy. I feel like an immigrant again now. The American students, they all stuck together. Aside from my one gay friend, they all stuck together. They barely learned Italian. They didn't really go out to any parties with the Italians. They all stayed together. So of course they were happy to go home. So that's something when kids study abroad, I think they should just be like, look, I like you, you're my roommate, but we're not talking while we're here. I'm going to go meet up with Lorenzo and join the mafia.
Well, it's immersing yourself in the culture. I mean, that's one of the whole ideas of being able to have a few months abroad, go abroad, just immerse yourself, which you certainly did.
I drowned in the culture.
That's wonderful. So from a party girl to professional, have you found the transition easy?
No, honestly, I've had to transition from the real transition that was very hard was from sex columnist to writer. Because you get pigeonholed in this, you get casted as this sex writer. I only wrote about sex because I was in my early 20s and that's the job they gave me. That was a very difficult transition. The party girl to professional has been, it's been a little easier just because I still do go out and LA is such a special, when I was in New York and Milan, it was harder because there, like, you party all night and you wake up and it's disgusting outside. You stay in hungover watching movies. And the cycle of a party girl, the reason why it keeps going is because if you spend all day hungover, by the time your hangover lifts, it's nighttime and you want to go out because you've been inside all day. You've been in bed all day. So you're like, I'm not going to stay in bed all day. Now I feel better. I'm going to go out. So you keep going out. You keep going out. And parties are marvelous when you deserve them. They're not fun anymore when they become like a job or like just taking the trash out and you're the trash. So LA though is a very special place. I think it's my perfect place because it has the right mix of debauchery and detox. Like, first of all, the bars close at 2. So if you really want to stay out longer, you do, but you go to someone's mansion with a pool. If you do stay out until the sun rises, by the time the sun rises, you want to go on a hike. There's just something different in the air here. New York, Milan, those types of places, you just want to, it's more depressing. The party life is more depressing. So here I've been able to still be productive all day and go out only, let's say, 3 nights a week rather than 6.
Okay. All right. So it used to be 6.
Still a lot, but it's a different kind of party. I'm not destroying myself. I'm enjoying myself.
Okay. And you're also quite busy. One book that has just debuted, and I believe the hardcover comes out June 2nd.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Look forward to that. You have another one that you're in the middle of doing. You have all these projects that you're talking about doing. So partying 3 nights a week, working very hard, really enjoying life. And from what I can tell, loving yourself, which is big, especially from where you came from.
Yeah.
You know, 15 years of anorexia, yeah. You couldn't have loved yourself.
It's no joke. One of my best tweets I ever tweeted was saying, people think I love myself because I'm skinny, but don't realize you only get skinny by hating yourself. I was proud.
All right. That one I haven't heard. It's the obsession. It's the obsession. It's the obsession of anything. And like you said, it's not vanity. It's really, you know, anorexia is an illness. It truly is. And it's one that the cure is not an immediate cure. And you were able to take care of that yourself. It took you a long time, but you did it. And now you're a very happy young lady from what I hear.
Yeah.
I don't believe you're faking it right now. So I think this is great. Your book, Life of the Party, right now, from what I can see, you are the life of the party. And I am so glad I was introduced to you. The next time I'm in LA, who knows when I'll be flying again. I'd love to meet you in person. In the meantime, where can people find more information, connect with you?
So I'm on Instagram all the time at Teha Hacic, TEAHACIC, as well as Twitter, same handle. And otherwise, I mean, they should obviously order the book. Yeah. It's now, of course, online is your best bookstore. So you can go directly on the Clash Books website or Amazon.com, obviously. And yeah, I mean, I think that it's a very quick and fun read. And it's the perfect thing to read while you're quarantined.
That's very true. And as summer coming also, it's the perfect. So if you had just a couple of words to describe yourself, what would those words be?
That's a good one. Silly is the first.
Okay.
Only two?
How many would you like?
I mean, yeah, silly, sweet, and glamorous.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I really didn't know where we would be going with this conversation. And I think we've gone into places that are just fun. You've made me smile and laugh the whole time. And that's exactly what we need right now. So, Tia, thank you so much for joining me today. And keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your gorgeous quarantine in Connecticut.
Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking to another extraordinary, inspiring woman who has made her mark on the world. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform and, of course, our website, sylviaandme.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to keep up with the latest episodes. Review, rate, and take us with you wherever you are. I want to hear from you. If you know of an extraordinary, inspiring woman, please contact me at sylvia@lifeofprey.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay safe. This has been a Life of Prey production.